It's hard. It's because it's not. It takes a lot of deciphering to learn a piece of Sfas Emes. So
Daddy.
I'm always saying it wrong, but we'll try.
I would do this, but I need new batteries, and
Okay.
the thing stays
I'm
tall.
gonna help you after
So
the
then
Torah
it only
share.
goes round and round and round.
Okay, so I'm gonna help
So
you
it
after
goes
the Torah
round and
share. We'll
round.
fix it. We're gonna get it fixed, okay? Okay, friends. Tafresh Lamed Aleph, Sfas Emes, first piece on Shavuos. Tafresh Lamed Aleph would be 1871. Here's what he wrote on Leil Aleph, or here's what he said. B'gemara Eretz Yara V'Shakta. Okay, the Gemara asked the following question in Shabbos Peches. We've spoken about this Gemara in this pasuk. And the Gemara's question is very simple. David HaMelech says, Eretz Yara V'Shakta, that the earth, that the world was afraid, trembled, it was anxious, V'Shakta, and it was calm. What's the question the Gemara asks? Im Yara Lama Shakta. I've told you many times, Rav Mishur, after 9/11, spoke about this piece and the parish of the Yira Kadosh on this piece. But it's really the Gemara's question, right? The Gemara asks the question. Yira and Sheket don't go together. Yira, fear, anxiety, pandemonium, craziness, and peace of mind, and Sheket, and calm, Yishuvadas, they don't seem to usually go together. Im Yara Lama Shakta. Shakta lama yara. How do yira and sheket coexist? And we're going to see that they mamish coexist. Right? We'll learn a pasha pshat, we'll learn a certain pshat, and then we'll understand the pshat more deeply. Ele b'tchila yara ulevesof shakta. Answer is the Gemara. At first there's yira, and then there's sheket. Kidresh lakish. Tanai hitna kodesh baruch hu b'nei Yisrael mekablen haTorah mutav. V'imlav machzira olam letohu vavohu. As Rish Lakish explained, the Kodesh Baruch Hu made a condition with creation itself, that if B'nai Yisrael accept the Torah, then great, then the world can exist. V'imlav, and if not, the world will go back to tohu vavohu. So there was a anxiety about existence prior to Kabbalah Satorah, because everything was al tanai. Everything was dependent upon Will Klal Yisrael uphold reality by accepting the Torah or not? So there was a yira, there was an anxiety, an uncertainty that preceded a certain sheket, a certain calm that came over the world when the Jewish people accepted the Torah. Okay, now Chevra, there's a lot of, I want you to think. Okay, we're not going to necessarily have time for everyone to share every thought that pops into your head while we're learning, but I want you to think, and please do share your thoughts if you have a good one. Right, there's so when you learn Sfas Emes, I find, and again, you'll tell me if it's true for your experience, it's a great way to learn how to think creatively. The Sfas Emes helps you to, in his very, very subtle way, touches a lot of, I don't know, nerve endings in the soul. So, for example, what did we just learn? He said there's a yira that preceded a sheket. So he's not going to talk about this, but maybe you've heard there's a medrash that says that B'shas Kabbalah Satorah, the world was absolutely silent. Everything went completely quiet. So based on what we just learned in Sfas Emes, we have a new understanding of that silence. What is the silence of Kabbalah Satorah? Is it just everyone standing at attention to be able to hear Hashem better? That the birds didn't chirp like Maimir Chazal? But what exactly was that silence? But we're understanding that part of that silence is not just that it's quiet in order to allow Hashem's voice to be heard. Right, but there was a certain calm that came over the world through Kabbalah Satorah. Because now the world could exist. Until this point, everything was tuliyin va'omdin. Everything was hanging in the balance. Will there be a world or not? Will Klal Yisrael accept the Torah? Will the world collapse back to tohu vavohu? But now that we accepted the Torah, that yira was pushed aside, and now there was this unbelievable sheket. So the silence of Kabbalah Satorah, right, is sort of this calm that comes with the recognition that now the world can function. Now we have the keys to so to speak the car to make sure that the world can continue to go weiter, to drive weiter. Okay, but let's understand more deeply. Nira haperish shal yedei hayira shakta levasov. Right, as we've just explained, the perish seems to be that through the yira that existed at the beginning, eventually there came to be a sheket. But what we're saying is that the yira, what Sfas Emes is saying is that the yira was necessary to generate the sheket. Right? Again, look at the words. Shal yedei hayira, that through, that it was needed to go through a period of yira to come to the shakta levasof. What does that mean? And what does that have to do with our experience of, let's say, Sfiras Omer leading up to Kabbalah Satorah? Ki matzarech l'kedereish lakish. Halo lo hiksha lama yara, rak im yara lama shakta. Right? So Hasemis asks a good question. He says, hold on a second. The question that the Gemara asked is, how does yara and shakta go together, right? The pasuk says, Eretz Yara v'shakta. So how do you have Yira and Sheket together? And the Gemara's answer is explaining, well, what was the source of the Yira? That wasn't the Gemara's question. What was the source of the Yira? The question was on the paradox of Yira and Sheket coexisting. So Svasemba said, I don't understand, right? The question, halo lo hiksha lama Yara, we didn't ask, why was there Yira? We asked, Im Yara Lama Shakta. Is Yira, how do we understand? Mimanav Shakta. You can't have it both ways. Im Zeshe Yira Iker, Im Kein Ma Shakta, the Ka'amar Vechein Lehefech. Meaning, what is the better way for the world to exist? There was a Yira that preceded the Sheket that came afterwards. So which is the ideal way for the world to be? Were all those years where the world was hanging in the balance, was that a more idyllic existence? Or no, that once we accepted the Torah and everything calmed down, so that's a better mahalach. Which mimanav shach, what do you want, Hashem? Is the yira form of living the better way to live? Or is the shakta form of living the better way to live? And the Gemara's answer is, umishani sha'al yedeha yira b'tchila shakta levasof. The answer is that you need both. The same way that if I were to ask you, what's better, mitzvah saseh or mitzvah lo saseh? I'm not asking you about the concept of asei docha lo saseh. If I asked you, what's better, yira or ava? Right? What's better? You may say that ava, from my understanding, is a higher level than yira, but does that mean that yira doesn't have a place? Obviously not. So what the Gemara is helping us understand is that really there's this relationship, a relationship that continues even after Kabbalah Satorah, of yira and ava. That's the Gemara's answer. And you'll see, it'll become more clear as we go. And if you think I'm saying it wrong, just raise your hand and tell me. Shal yideha yira b'tchila shakta levasof. That through the yira that they experienced initially, that allowed the shakta to come at the end. Kim lo hayitzarech b'tanaya lekabal asatorah, lam hit nekadosh baruch hu b'shas abriyah. So Hashem says, I'll up the ante. Because if this whole condition is not necessary, then why did Hashem make it that way? Right? Meaning if the goal is just to get to the Sheket, so why did Hashem create 2,448 years of this uncertainty? It must be that this Tanai, that this feeling of everything hanging in the balance until Kabbalah Satorah was part of the master plan. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't that Hashem couldn't figure out a different way to do it. Hashem wanted to do it that way. Rak shezeh haya hachana l'kabbalah satorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu very much bekavana, with intention, with divine will, made it that there would be this period of hachana for Kabbalah Satorah. That what? Shal yedei shekol habriya toloi bekabbalah satorah lo yuchal teva habriya lios moneya umisnage lekabbalah satorah. Okay? This is the line I would say to underline, if you want to underline so far. What the Sasemis is saying is that what? Hashem wanted to make it that there should be this sense, a deep sense of feeling and an awareness that every bit of the Bria is dependent upon Torah. That if the Klal Yisrael says no, right, to Vav Sivan, then the world goes back to Tov Vavo. And Hashem wanted every blade of grass and every bird and every human being to really understand that. Hashem wanted the Bria to feel that in a deep way, to sit with that for a long time. Again, why exactly Hashem waited till the year 2448 from creation to give the Torah? Good question. Maybe for another time, to figure out the significance of that number, why did Hashem wait so long? There's other limudim from that. But again, look at the words. Let's do the words one more time. Rakshazeh, because it takes time for the Svasemis to sink in. Rakshazeh haya hachana lekabbalah satorah. Shal yedei shekol habriya toloi bekabbalah satorah, by making the whole existence of reality dependent upon Kabbalah satorah, everyone had to buy in, and everything had to buy in. Lo yuchal teva habriya lios moneya umisnagi lekabbalah satorah. No, nothing in the world could say I object, because if the world rejects Kabbalah satorah, there is no world, and the world had to feel it. Yes, Klal Yisrael would be the team captain, in charge of saying the magic words, Nasa v'nishma, we accept. Right? We were the ones who had to sign off on it. But the whole world had to feel it. So it's dafka through the yara that we understand the shakta. It's dafka through all of that anxiety, all that uncertainty, all of that feeling of a shaky world finally being able to have stability through Torah that helps us to really understand the shakta, the yishuv das, the stability of our lives when we have Torah. And again, it'll become more clear. Let's keep going. Ukamo kein b'chol mitzvah gam kein ha'achana al yedei ha'yira mikodem ki b'shas asiyas ha'mitzvah tzarech liyos ba'ava v'dveikus. So now the Sfas Emes sees this experience of all of creation, right, expressing itself on a microcosmic level, so to speak, every time we do a mitzvah. There's the hachana to the mitzvah, and then there's what? And then there's the mitzvah itself. There's the yira, there's the preparation for the mitzvah, which he's calling yira. It's the restraint, it's the yira, it's gvura, it's restraint, right? It's not yet time for the mitzvah, but I'm generating a longing for the mitzvah. And sometimes I just want to get there already. That's the feeling of what? Of Sfiras HaOmer. That's why Sfiras HaOmer is primarily a period of what? And not just the Lag B'Omer, but the whole Sira is primarily a period of Yira. It's a period of Midas HaDin. Again, I'm using synonymous words. Gvura, Midas HaDin, Yira. It's all that same feeling because leading up to Kabbalah Satorah, before you get to that awesome Ahava of Kabbalah Satorah, you have to go through this period of Midas HaDin. Right? Again, whether that's manifest in the death of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, which is one aspect of it, or just sort of this longing, this waiting, this feeling of I just want to arrive already, and that feeling of the anxiety of like I'm supposed to be getting ready for Kabbalah Satorah for such a long period of time, and I don't even know what that means, and like I just want to get there and I just want to get to Shavuos. There's a lot of tension that's created through that. But again, that's true, says the Sfas Emes, for every mitzvah. Every mitzvah we do, there's a hachana al yedei ha'yira. And then when you come to the mitzvah, hopefully after all, to perform the mitzvah with an ahava and a dveikus. V'chol zeh ba al yedei yira hakodemes. And again, in accordance with the anxiety of svira, in accordance with the excitement and the longing and the hopefulness and the frustration of waiting to get there, that makes the experience that much more, enjoyable when you finally do arrive. Then you're able to throw yourself into it that much more. Again, v'chol zeh ba al yedei yira hakodemes, shal yedei zeh shomer adam atzmo shel yekalkel, sheyuchal lageshes lasas hamitzvah keretzono yizbarach. Right? I want to make sure that I'm optimally ready to perform the mitzvah when the time comes. So I go into this period of yira. I'm very cautious. I'm very guarded. Right, I want to make sure that nothing happens to me in the days. I don't know. Right? Let's say a person's a little bit of a risk taker, a shtickel adventurer. Yeah. So okay. So let's say some postkin would say you should never go skiing. It's dangerous. Okay. Let's say you go skiing. You think it's okay to go skiing? It's not so dangerous. It's not more risky than whatever other activities that I'm engaged in. Right. So let's say you're getting married next week. Your chasna's coming up next week. And your friend says, and you're an intense skier. You do the black diamond stuff. You're off the bunny slopes. So your friend says a week before your chasana, let's go skiing for a couple of days, right? Now you always go skiing. You like skiing. You go all the time with this friend. Why am I not going a few days before my chasana? Because God forbid, right now, if I break my leg, right, the stakes are that much higher. Is it more likely I'll break my leg now than any other time? Not really. But I'm entering this period of withdrawal. I got to be more careful. I'm entering this period of gvura, of midas hadin, of yira, of constriction, because I'm anticipating one of the greatest moments of ahava of my life. So the period of Sfiras HaOmer, lamashal, havdil, but lamashal, is sort of this period of quarantining to get ourselves ready for the chuppah, to make sure that when we come to Kabbalah Satorah, we're ready to be makabel the Torah in the right way. This is the idea of a shmira and an asiya. That there's a shmira, there's a guarding, there's a withdrawal, a protection, a hachana, before I go into that stage of ava, of the asiya. Ushmira hu b'chinas yira, v'hu b'chinas mitzvos lo sase. Right? It's interesting. It's very, very interesting. Think about it like this for a second. You know, so Asemis writes it in Hazinu, but you know it, you just know it from, you know, from lots of Svarim and from lots of Torah ideas, that Hachana in a certain sense is more, is even greater in a certain sense than the mitzvah itself, right? I've seen such an idea in the Svarim, that the Hachana for a mitzvah in some ways is even greater than the experience itself. But you also know it from real life experience. The wedding lasts for 6 hours. The preparation for the party lasts for months, right? So all the looking forward to it, all the anticipation of it, all of the lead up to it is so much more in terms of actual hachana than the experience itself. Why am I mentioning this? Because he's talking about mitzvahs lo sase and mitzvahs ase. What do we have more of? Do we have more lo sase or do we have more ase? There are 365 lo sase. There are only 248 mitzvahs ase. Why is that so? A lot of reasons. But again, I'm just thinking based on what the Svasemis is telling us here, the same way that Shavuos is one day and Sri Asa Omer is 7 weeks, right? The same way that that a woman, you know, counts Shiva Nekiyim to then be permitted to her husband, right? Obviously the act of intimacy is gonna last less than the week of the preparation for it. The same thing is true here. The 7 weeks of Shavuos is, so to speak, the Svarim say, the Shiva Nekiyim, the woman preparing herself for her husband. The preparation for the chasana of figuring out the caterer and the photographer and the band and the flowers and getting the clothing, and it's so much more than the couple of hours that the actual chasana takes place. Right? But without all that preparation, the chasana is not going to be as exciting as it could be, or as it should be, perhaps. So therefore, the idea of mitzvah salosa, say, the shmira that precedes the asiyah, in a certain sense, is even not only greater in terms of, like, spiritually greater, but it's actually bigger. There's more shmira, and the shmira will impact the asiyah. The lo sase will then impact the mitzvah sase, which in a certain sense is greater. Ase docha lo sase. Ava is greater than yira. But you need a very good, chazak, strong, you know, you need a strong foundation of yira, of midas adin, of constriction, to then build, so to speak, the world of ava on top of it. Chaver, does it make sense what I'm saying? Am I being clear? Am I being truthful to the Svasemis? I hope so. If you have questions, ask. Ushmartim vasisim. So again, the shmira is the yira, it's the lo sase. She'ein bo ma'isa, right? It's all stay indoors. It's quarantine. It's lay low. Raglishmor ashalo litzeis miyarasa yizbarach. I want to become mindful of what I'm about to do. I'm preparing myself. I'm in mind and body and spirit. I'm getting myself ready for the opportunity of what I'm going to do. Kedei lios mucha lemitzvah sasei ba'ava. So that when the time comes, like he said over here, to do the mitzvah ba'ava uvedvekus. And therefore, way to think about all mitzvahs lo sasei is a preparation for a mitzvah sasei. It's bechinas sor meira va'asei tov, as he quotes the pasuk in Tehillim. So, going back to the Gemara and going back to David HaMelech's statement in Tehillim Ayin Vav, right? Eretz Yara v'shakta. The idea of Eretz Yara v'shakta is that this tanai, this condition that Hashem made Ashen, is of necessity. And what we're about to announce is as fast as he's going to bring them even closer together. Because what we've been explaining at this point is that there's like this linear relationship, right? That there has to be a hachana before the mitzvah. There has to be a yira before the av. There has to be a lo sase before a mitzvah sase. What we're about to learn is, in truth, they really coexist. They actually take up the same space. And we'll see how that is. Again, going back to the pasuk. The pasuk said what? Eretz yara v'shakta. That for the existence of Eretz, for the world to exist, and we're going to bring it now into the Dira B'tachtonim, there has to be, there needs to be, and there should be, this coexistence of what? Of yara and shakta. Let's see what that means. Of yira and ava. V'hu b'chinas zachar v'shamor. Shezechira hu dveikus b'chayis pnimius, v'shamor hu yira shelo litzeis me'agedr lios muchen l'kayim ha-mitzvos. Again, shamor v'zachar, zachar v'shamor. It says zachar in the first dibros, it says shamor in the second dibros. Right? And yet we know from Chazal, zachar v'shamor, as he quotes here in the brackets, v'chsiv, zachar v'shamor b'dibra echad nemru. Right? Zachar and shamor were said simultaneously. The fact that in Chumash, in Chumash Shemos and Chumash Devarim we have a different word, okay, true. But on a certain level, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said both, and Hashem said both, b'shas achas, right? Ki vaday Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha-shalom lo shina maimra Hashem Yisbarach mizachar l'shamar. It's not like Moshe rewrote the Torah in Vazchanan. In the Chumash of Mishnah Torah, Moshe changed it from zachar to shamar. Raki dibur Hashem l'klal Yisrael haya achar tikon ha-shlemes mitzidam u'bechinas shamar hu achano lios muchim l'kabel ha-kedusha. Okay, I'm going to try to explain what this means in a second. Let's go back. Let's circle back for a second. Again. So Zachar v'Shamor, Zechira represents what? The Mitzvah Saseh aspect, the Ava and Dveikus aspect, right? The Pnimius of the Mitzvah, the experience of the Mitzvah. Shamor is the Yira, the anticipatory angst that I feel that I want to make sure that I'm ready to do the Mitzvah. I'm nervous about approaching the Mitzvah. That I don't want to be, you know, outside of the boundaries of those who are invited, so to speak, into the mitzvah. And therefore, Zachar v'Shamor b'dibur echad, they have to really coexist, right? Because in truth, haba hatalia, as the Gemara says, right? This one and that one are dependent upon each other. As the Gemara is telling you, there's a tanai here, there's a condition. It has to be this way. You need a yira and you need a ava, and they need to balance each other out. Yes, in a linear fashion, one comes before the other. Yes, in a spiritual greatness fashion. Yes, we would say that on a certain level, the mitzvah is greater than the hachana for the mitzvah. On a certain level, in the pnimiyas haTorah, the hachana is greater than the mitzvah. We would assign categories and levels depending on our perspective. But on a certain level, like everything, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem, echad. There's a oneness to the whole thing. So Zachar and Shamor coexist. And the Ramamish said at one point, in one expression, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't rewrite the Torah when he changed it from Zachar to Shamor, so to speak. Again, let's read inside. Raki dibur Hashem leklal Yisrael hu achar tikon hashlemus mitzidam uvechinas Shamor hu achara lios muchan lekabel hakedusha. Where do we find Zachar and where do we find Shamor? What's the context of Zachar and Shamor? Where do we have it? Everyone's so humble, no one wants to say. We have it by Shabbos, right? Shabbos is Zachar v'Shamor. Where does it say Zachar? In Parshas Yisro. Zachar as Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho. Okay, that's Parshas Yisro. Where does it say Shamor? By the Aseres HaDibros, by the repetition of the Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Ve'eschanan. Over there, right, there's a change. And it says, over there it says, sorry, I'm having such a hard time finding the pasuk. Shamor es yom haShabbos l'kadosho, kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. Sheish es yom tav rasisa kol melachtecha, v'yom ha'shvi Shabbos l'Hashem Elokecha, v'sasecha melacha atu v'incha v'itecha, v'avdecha v'amasecha v'shurcha v'chamorcha, v'chol behemtecha v'gerecha asher b'sharecha, l'man yanuach avdecha v'amascha kamocha. V'zacharta ki yavar yisa v'aretz v'tzrayim, v'yotziacha Hashem Elokecha misham b'yad chazako v'zoha netuya, Alkein, Sivcha Hashem Elokecha Lasos as Yom HaShabbos. Okay? So the Shomor as Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho is in Ve'eschanan, and Zachar as Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho is in Parshas Yisro. So Chevra, why is the Zachar first and the Shomor is afterwards? Why is it written in that order? So that's what I think he's explaining right over here. Raki dibur Hashem l'klal Yisrael hu achar tikun hashleimus mitzidam. What does that mean? That when Hashem says, again, if you have to say which Zachar and Shamar, which one is more Hashem speaking, which one is more Moshe Rabbeinu speaking? So you would say the pasuk in Yisro is Hashem speaking, And the pasuk in Ve'eschanan is more Moshe Rabbeinu speaking, right? Chumash Devarim is Moshe mipi atzmo, Chazal say. It's Moshe, so to speak, in his own words. So the Zachor means what? Mitzvah Saseh, that's the positive aspect. So that's Hashem speaking to Klal Yisrael, Acher Tikun HaShleimus Mitzidam. Meaning after you've done your part, then this is what we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to Zachor. This is the ideal. When Moshe Rabbeinu, right? I think what Sazemus is explaining is why, from a Torah linear perspective, you'd think that Shamor should be before Zachor. Because you have to go through Lo Saseh to get to Haseh. So we're saying, Parshas Yisro is Hashem speaking the ideal. When Moshe Rabbeinu is explaining how it works, Moshe Rabbeinu begins with Shamor, Lios Muchan Lekabel HaKadusha. V'zeh She'amru, Mi She'yeshno B'shmira, Yeshno B'zechira. And this is the idea that we find in Chazal, the Gemara in Brachos says, the one who has Shmira is eligible for Zechira. Right? What's the Pashup Shot? The Pashup Shot is, it's explaining why women are Chayav in the positive aspects of Shabbos. Why are women chayav in the positive aspects of Shabbos? Shabbos is a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. So the Gemara answers, because just like women have a prohibition of not violating Shabbos, they have to do shmira, so they also have to do zechira. What we're learning on a deeper level is that no, you need shmira, you need lo saseh, you need hachana to come to ava. She'af she'ein kol adam zoche ledveikus nimius b'makom she'ikar hachayus sham. Okay, let's translate. So he's saying, even though not everyone... Now, okay, let me say it outside first. Is everyone going to be able to reach the level of Zechira? Chava, do you think we're able to reach a level where we do the mitzvahs ba'avu v'dveikus? I don't know if I've ever done a single mitzvah in my life ba'avu v'dveikus, right? But what the Sfasemis is telling us, he's telling us both a tzivoy and a haftacha. What's the tzivoy? The tzivoy is, here's your marching orders. Shamor and then Zachor, right? Chol sheyeshno b'shmira, anyone who works on shmira, will then maybe be eligible for Zechira. Okay? That's the order. You can't get to Zechira unless you go through shmira. You can't come to real mitzvah ba'av v'dveikus unless you first do the hachana. You can't come to mitzvah saseh unless you work on lo saseh, sur meira, and then aseh tov. But he's also telling us a promise. Because Fasemis knows part of us is going to say, even with all my shmira, I'm counting. Today's the 47th day of the Omer? I'm still in the game. I'm not going to put anyone on the spot to ask you who's in and who's out. All right? But I'm in the game right now, but I still feel completely unworthy of Shavuos. And I still know that when Shavuos comes, to whatever degree I'm prepared, I'm not prepared enough. And I'm not going to feel the Ava enough. And I'm not going to have Dveikus enough. So says the Sfasemis, this Maimer Chazal is also a bracha to us. It's a guarantee. That if you do Shmira, to whatever degree you can, Yeshno b'Zechira. Not only will you be eligible for Zechira, but you will experience Zechira. Really? I don't think I'm going to make it to Zechira. I don't think I'm going to make it to Ava and Dveikus. Sha'af she, look at the words again. Sha'af she'ein kol adam zoche ledveikus pnimius b'makom she'ikar achayis sham. Even though you may say, I'm not going to reach that madrega, I'm not such a baal madrega, I'm not going to get to real dveikus. And that's what the perush of Zachor is, he says. Zachor is dveikus b'makom pnimi b'leiv. What does the word Zachor literally mean? To be mindful of, to remember. B'makom she'ein shaychas shichacha. That means complete attachment to Hashem, that I never forget Hashem for a second. That's not me. Even though I'm counting Sfiras HaOmer, even though I'm doing my part in terms of the Hachana, right? That's why it's called Zechira. It's called Zechira because it's the Nekuda Koleles Kol Chayas HaAdam, like we learned in Or Gedaliah, that Shechacha goes with death, Zechira goes with life. So on the one hand, I'm not gonna. Who's to think I'm gonna ever make it to a level of real Zechira, right? Ke'ein Az Karasa Sheperusho Klalus Hadavar Ve'Ikar Mahuso. Zechira means mamish, being alive and mindful of Hashem. So even with my shmira, I don't think I'm going to get to Zechira. Mikol makom, nonetheless, the Gemara is giving us a chizuk, a guarantee. Mi sheshomer atzmo, v'chiyuso, v'retzono, shelo lishtamish bo l'inyanei olam hazeh. To whatever degree I can retreat, and I can pull into that world, of what? of entering into that period of Yira, to whatever degree I can withdraw from the world and enter into that quarantine and enter into that constriction, which is really mimicking the tzimtzum of creation, and I can get myself as focused as I can to the best of my ability, to be as prepared as humanly possible for Kabbalah Satorah, who bechlal zachar. To whatever degree I do shamur, I have a guarantee of what? Of tasting a zachar. Gam kein shebe, why am I guaranteed a little bit of zachar? Shebe dibur echad nemru. Because they always, they're tied to each other. There's a bond between them that can never be broken. And therefore, to whatever degree I work on my shamur, I'm guaranteed to be experiencing zachar. Will I reach the highest levels of zachar, of ava and dveikas? I don't know, probably not. But there's a reality that shamar v'zachar b'dibur echad and kol sheyeshno b'shmira, to whatever degree. Again, it's not just a halachic principle that because women have to guard the los haseis of Shabbos, they also need to hear kiddush on Shabbos. No, it's much more than that. That kol sheyeshno b'shmira, to whatever degree I have shmira, and again, shmira also means looking forward to something. To whatever degree I'm excited for shuas, zachar, I'll experience shuas. Where do we know that shmira means excitement for something, longing for something? Va'aviv shamar es hadavar. When Yaakov Avinu was told about Yosef's dreams, right? Shamar, he looked forward to seeing them come true. He guarded the matter. He knew that one day they would come true. So again, to whatever degree we prepare ourselves, we're guaranteed to get a taste of it. But again, it's all just one deep parish on a little gemara in Maseches Shabbos, Eretz Yara v'Shakta, that there was a Yira and there was a Sheket. And how they came together in a remarkable way. How mitzvah saseh, mitzvah lo saseh, on a certain level there's a prerequisite and then there's what comes after. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu built it into the world that the whole world should feel b'shas kabbalah satorah, that my entire chiyus comes from that relationship of the yira that precedes the ahava. Okay? Okay, Chaver, let's go a little bit further. We're going to do one more piece. It's actually much longer than the piece we just did. But let's see how far we can just push through it. I'm going to go through it quickly. It's a little bit easier, especially now that we built up this first piece. Okay, but it's so gewaltig. Look what we're about to learn. It's so good. It's mamish so good. Uviyoma bikura mincha chadasha. We'll go to 11:15, okay? Uviyoma bikura mincha chadasha. On the day of Bikurim, right, when we bring the first fruits, which is Shavuos, we bring also a Mincha Chadasha, Lashem. These are the Psukim in Parshas Pinchas describing the offerings of Shavuos. Ki ba'oraisa bar kutcher b'ichu alma. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used the Torah as the blueprint of the world. What does that mean? Nimtza chayis pnimius shel kol hanevraim hu kovach hareishis mea Torah. Why is Shavuos the Yom Tov of Bikurim, of first fruits? As the Mishnah says in Maseches Bikurim, we start bringing the first fruits on Shavuos. Why is it the beginning? Why is it a Yom Tov of beginnings? Because as we're about to learn, Shavuos is the time where the whole world understands that my beginning, my foundation, my existence is Torah. Torah is my blueprint. Not just in terms of how to make decisions right now, or what to do or not to do right now. My existence comes from Torah. The seed from which I was created is called Torah. Kamosha Amru Bishvil Torah Shenikra Reishis, right? Bikurim is all about Reishis. Why is Shavuos the Yom Tov of first? Because on Shavuos we come to realize that my foundation, my first, my starting point is Torah. And we're about to learn it in a really beautiful way. Kamosha Namar Kavach Maisiv Higid. We know Rashi quotes in the very first Rashi in Chumash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu began Bereishis Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis. Bishvil Torah Shnikarashis, and Rashi quotes this pasuk, Koach Ma'asav Higid La'amo, that the strength of his creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, relayed to his people, Sha'atorah Hu Koach Ma'asav Rashis. Torah is the Koach, Torah is the energy, Korah is the juice, the gasoline that fuels Ma'asav Rashis, that fuels creation. Ach Kinivra Lios Nelam Apnimios, even though you don't realize that every second of every day. Why do I feel hungry or full right now? Why do I feel thirsty or not right now? Right? So Yoni will say, because I just, what do you mean? I saw, you know, you can't deny it. I saw the green mug that he was just drinking from, right? I know that he had a drink. So if I ask Yoni, why are you not so thirsty? Or why do you feel more awake? Because I had a cup of coffee, right? And there's truth to that. On the surface, there's a lot of truth to that. But Papnemius, he didn't just drink coffee, he drank Torah. From a cup of Torah. Right? Using his hand, which is Torah. Everything is Torah. We don't see that most of the time. Understandably so. That Pnemius, and by the way, Chaver, this is the Yesod Gadol in all of Sfas Emes. The whole Sfas Emes is rooted around this one Yesod, which is what? That there's a Pnemius to everything. There's an Akuda Pnemius. That's a phrase he uses a million and one times. There's an Akuda Pnemius to everything that you experience. The more Sfas Emes you learn, the more you'll see that that's a theme. I don't want to say it's the theme, but I think you could probably even say it's the theme of the Sfas Emes. To uncover and to be megala that Nekuda Pnemius. Shavuos is the celebration of the Giloy of the Nekuda Pnemius. And that's why this piece is so fundamental. Kinivra lios nelema Pnemius. The way that the world usually functions is that this reality that everything is made up of Torah is hidden. Aval, underline, biyo matan Torah nisgala zev nidbak hakol ba'shoresh. On Shavuos, we accept, we see with our own eyes. We know it in the clearest of ways. We know what our rachis is. We understand what our starting point is. We dig deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Where do I come from? What do you mean? My parents created me. Right, well, how did they create me? What do you mean? A drop of seed fertilized an egg. Yeah, well, where did that come from? How does that work? Right? Oh, the drop of seed was generated by you know, like the Tanya describes, right? By the thoughts of the mind, which trigger the body to produce the seed. Well, where does the mind come from? If you keep digging deeper and deeper and deeper, you get down to that rachis, you get back to the blueprint. To the matrix, so to speak. You know, where did it all come from? It came from what? Torah, period. And what is Torah? Torah is Hashem. Right? Hashem gave himself to us in written form. It's Torah. On Shavuos, the heavens opened. We saw it all. It was crystal clear. We saw in the clearest way. What? We saw what the shoresh was. We were able to see our bikurim. We were able to see the rachis. That's what it means. Hashem spoke to you face to face. Sinai. Face to face, panim is also lashna pnim. We encountered our piss at our Sinai. This was the line that I got so excited when I was preparing this piece. This was the biggest chiddush. This is what I love about Sfas Emes. It's lines like this. What's he saying? I don't want to say, I'm not telling you the pshat until someone speaks. It's a Gemara. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Pechesam and Beis, that when Hashem spoke, the world filled with besamim. What does that mean? Based on what he's saying here. It's mamish awesome. What do you think it means? Anyone have a pshat? I was so excited about this line. What do you think? Tell me about besamim. Tell me about smell. Why did the whole world fill with besamim? Mamish right there in the Gemara, and I had all the pieces. I just never thought until Sfas Emes said it in this context. I didn't understand. I never understood the Gemara this way. Why did the world smell so good when Hashem said, "Anochi Hashem Elokecha"? Ah, smells gevaldik. The whole world was one big havdalah. You know, bring out the besamim. What's the pshat? Anyone have a pshat? No? Come on, someone has to say something. Tell me about smell. Say anything. You don't have the whole picture. Just say something. What do you know about the scent? The scent of the sense smell of smell.
It's very connected to memory.
Okay, good. So that's good. That brings us back to the zachor, the awareness of Hashem, right? Zichru barachem, remember your Creator. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. That's the essence of everything. Trying to get back to that zichiro, which is life itself. Okay, what else?
Connected to truth.
Smell is connected to truth? How so?
Don't say that. Doesn't Chazal say that Mashiach will be able to smell the truth?
Oh, interesting. You're saying Mashiach's ability to determine things, right, through the power of smell. So smell is able to distinguish between something true and something false. Okay. A certain biror that takes place through smell. Okay, what else?
Isn't it also connected to? Maybe when you like smell something, it like takes you back somewhere. Like if you smell like fresh cookies, like it reminds you of your
okay. Mom's, like, okay, so that's part of that zechira link. But for sure, it also you could right? There's an element of traveling with smell. It's not only remembering, but it kind of brings you somewhere. It brings you back to an old experience. Okay. sort of the Kabbalah Torah of every generation, the scent of Har Sinai. We keep coming back to Har Sinai, okay? What else?
Is it possible that it's also connected to with creation?
Like, yeah.
Creation of,
what about it?
That Hashem blew our neshama, I'm assuming nose or something like that.
Okay, interesting. Vayipach be'apash maschaim. Okay, tell me more about that. Yeah.
So when Hashem is speaking, that's in essence, well, like the same way that like Hashem is able to create through breathing through the nose, when Hashem speaks, is like a ki'ilu, him creating.
Okay.
A similar thing, and so therefore, our sense of smell is the receptor.
Right.
For the
beautiful. Beautiful. So our nose is very aware at our Sinai, because with Torah we're saying that is creation of life, and that's the Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chaim. It's Hashem, you know, blowing into the nostrils of man, perhaps, the spirit of life. So our nose is very aroused at Har Sinai, as we receive life itself, which is Torah. Tell me about Chet Eitz Hadas. No, I'm surprised. I'm surprised. Not faulting anyone. I'm just surprised. I thought we spoke about this a million times. Which of the senses were involved in the Chet Eitz Hadas? Chava saw the tree, and she tasted the tree, and the Nachash pushed her into the tree, and she listened to the Nachash. Right? Bnei Yisachar describes, Bnei Yisachar explains that the Chush HaReyach was not damaged b'shas Chet Eitz Hadas. Which explains why the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos Daf Mem Gimel, right? The Gemara is discussing the bracha on various smells, right? That's Daf Mem Gimel in Brachos. And the Gemara says, how do we know we make a bracha on smell? And the Gemara says, you make a bracha on smell because b'samim is something that the neshama enjoys. Right? Why do we smell b'samim on Motzei Shabbos? Because the neshama Yisera is leaving. The Gemara quotes the pasuk, kol haneshama tahalka aluka, that the neshama enjoys smell. So the Bnei Yisachar asks the question, and he ties it to the Arizal. Why do we make a bracha on smell? What do you mean? We already have a rule 8 pages earlier in Maseches Brachos, on Daf Lamed Hey, that says what? How do you know you make a bracha? Because Svara, the Gemara says Svara, Brachos Daf Lamed Hey. You're not allowed to enjoy things of this world. It's stealing. If you take something without a bracha, you're stealing. So why does the Gemara need a different pasuk on Daf Mem Gimel to give me a source that you make a bracha on smell? Because the neshama enjoys it. The answer is, and again, it's based on the Arizal, when we make a bracha on something, we're being mevarer through the bracha, the tov and the ra that is intermingled. And how did the tov and the ra become intermingled? By Chet Eitz Hadas. But smell, and you see it, it's not tangible, right? It has a ethereal quality to it. It's very, you can't touch smell, right? So because it's something that's so neshamadik, it was never damaged by Chet Eitz Hadas. Which means it might not need a bracha, because if a bracha is about being mavar, the tov from the ra, smell was never damaged. There never was the blurring of this line between tov and ra. So the Gemara's answer, okay, but because the neshama enjoys it, you still need to make a bracha on it. But it's a chiddush that you need to make a bracha on smell. It doesn't play by the regular rules of brachos. So what does it mean? So what is smell? Smell represents the purest part of your neshama. Smell represents the ruchnius, the undamaged ruchnius of Gan Eden. So at the time of Kabbalah Satorah, the world was filled with besamim. In other words, if smell represents ruchnius, represents the shama, like the Sfasemah said, again, usually everything is hiding within physicality. But at the moment of Kabbalah Satorah, Nizgal v'nidbak hakol ba'ashoresh, everything is perceiving its spiritual roots. And therefore, what better way to have everything make contact with its spiritual roots than what? Than besamim. Than smell. Smell represents neshama. The whole world was filled with neshama. There was no guf. Everything was seen through its pnimius. Panim b'panim, divrei Hashem imachem. That's what happened at Kabbalah Satorah. V'chein ma sha'amru nechlak l'shivim l'shonos. And not only that, the notion that what? That the 70 language of interpretation of Torah, what does that mean? That means 70 languages represents the 70 nations of the world. That means the nations that look like they have no sheikhas to Torah are also proven to be drawing their chias from Torah. Everything exists because of Torah. It's the blueprint of everything. Shivim Lashonos, right? The whole world is filled with bitsamim. So there is no coffee cup, and there is no coffee, and there is no physical hand, there's no glasses, there's no table, there's no paper, there's no sarim, there's no Zoom, there's no computer, there's no nothing. There's only Torah. Now, most of the time, we live behind the levushim. We live behind all of the layers. But at Kabbalah Satorah, all the walls collapsed, and panim b'panim divrei Hashem imachem. The world was filled with neshama, with bisamim, with that reach nichoach. Hakol kenizkar la'el. Everyone understood that my existence is utterly dependent upon Torah. However, 2 more minutes. Let's finish up just... We're not going to do the whole piece, obviously. It's long. We'll just finish up a couple more lines. Where are we? This is also Gevaldik. We know the Svarim HaKadosh. It's built on a Zohar. Speak a lot about the relationship between the Asara Ma'amaros, the ten utterances of creation, and the Asara Sadibros, and the Eser Makos. Okay, but let's focus on these two groups of tens. Let's focus on the 10 utterances of creation versus the Asara Sadibros. What's the difference between Maimer and Dibor, between Amira and Dibor? It's a Rashi and Chumash, it's a Gemara and Makos, if you ever learned Maseches Makos. What's the difference between Amira and Dibor? Which one is softer, which one is firmer? Which one is more chazak, more direct? Which one's more potent? Dibur is stronger, right? So look what he writes. He says, Perish Maimer is bechashai uvehester. Maimer means what? Speech. Maimer, mamaros means, so to speak, in a whisper, in concealment. It's soft spoken. Even though creation was loud as can be, it's a bang, right? It's so much giloy, Hashem created the world. No. It was all concealment. It was all tzimtzum. It was actually all hiding. It was all a whisper. Because it's hiding something much, 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 much bigger. Aseres HaDibros, the Kol Gadol of Har Sinai, as the Torah calls it, a Kol Gadol. A loud voice of Elo Yasaf that never stopped. Dibor is Hisgalus. Like the Pasuk says in Koheles, Devar Melech Shilton. The Devar Melech, the word of the king is law. Dibor is concrete. It's what it is. It is what it is. Maimer is still shrouded. So even though there's so much Hashem expressing itself through physical reality, which is the Asar Ma'amaros, the 10 utterances of creation, let there be this, let there be that, let there be this, let there be that. But it was only at Har Sinai when Hashem said, all really is. Sha'oz niskal shekoach HaTorah mechaya hakol. The Shoresh Dalid Beis Reish doesn't only mean speech or communication, but Devar also means what? Also means leadership, means memshala, rulership, right? Guidance, directing, right? Like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, on Dav Ches, Dabar Echad Lador, Velo Shtei Dabarim. There can only be one Dabar. What's a Dabar? A Dabar means a king, a leader. Or like the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Yad Ber Amim Tachteinu. What does Yad Ber Amim Tachteinu mean? It means the nations should be spoken to by us. Yad Ber means they should be guided by us, under our leadership, under our rule. Again, direct, clear, seeing it for what it is. And that's what Kabbalah Satorah is. V'ikar, you could underline this line if you own the Sefer, I would say. Again, you can do whatever you want, they're your Svarim. But I think this is the key line. V'ikar Kabbalah Satorah hu Hasgalus. What is Kabbalah Satorah? It's giloy. It's revealing that which is there all the time that most of the time we don't see. V'zesh yakasa b'targum, and it's explicit. Because the Targum translates, V'yered Hashem al Arsinai, Hashem came down on Arsinai as what? God came down, v'iskalei, Hashem revealed. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu melocho la'aretz kavodo. That's the world filling with besamim, filling with neshama. There is no guf, it's a perception, don't be fooled by it. This is the Sfas Emes' klal gadol. In all of Sfas Emes, he talks about this. Rakshon mikodim haya nistar kanizkar le'al. But as we learned above, there's a hester, there's a concealment that precedes a revelation. There's a yira that precedes an ava, right? There's time apart before we're able to be together. V'lekach nikra yom ha-bikurim. So now we understand. Why is the holiday of Shavuos the day of Bikurim? Shenidbak ata ha-kol b'bechinas ha-reishis. Because everything reconnected to its Bikurim, to its first point, its starting point. And through that, it gets renewal. It gets new life. All right, I love what David Lifshitz said. The constant, the nose is constantly engaged on Shavuos. Mechadish betuvo b'chol yom ma'isa bereishis, like we say in davening. Uperish Chazal, Hashem is mechadish betuvo ein tov el Torah, betuvo ba Torah, as we explained above. Shepnimius chayus ma'isa bereishis mei Torah. Uvechol yom mischadish gam kein ma'isa bereishis b'derach nistar. All the time, the world is being renewed. We don't see it, but on Shavuos atah hareis ladas, Hashem opened up the heavens to such a degree that there was no death, there was no Yetzer Hara, there was no doubt that there's a Borei Olam. And I'll just end with these last two lines. He says, in Shavuos, there was such a Giloi that there was a Bittul Yetzer Hara. What's the simple way of learning that? We were so aware of God that we stopped, you know, we didn't fall for the tricks of the Yetzer Hara. No, it's much more than that. We learned that there is no Yetzer Hara, that the Yetzer Hara himself is drawing his Chiyos from what? From Torah. That the bittul yetzahara gam kein al yedei shenizgalish agam chayus sitra achra minikuda ptirius. That the yetzahara is also a malach Hashem tzavakos. He draws from the same source that we draw from. Right? And this is the novelty of Hasidus. And this is, by the way, in my opinion, and this is really the last thing I'll say, this has to be the reason the Baal Shem Tov's Yahrzeit is on Shavuos. Why is the Baal Shem Tov's Yahrzeit on Shavuos? Why is Baal Shem Tov's Yahrzeit on Shavuos? So what is Rav Huttner write in one place? Rav Huttner says it's Hashem's, it's like a little bit of a joke, right? Who died on Sukkot? The Vilna Gaon. Sukkot is Man Simchasenu. Who died on Shavuos? The Baal Shem Tov. So ha, it's Hashem making a joke, right? The Vilna Gaon, who's so serious about Torah, and you think the Vilna Gaon is so stern, never you know had Simcha in his life. The Vilna Gaon died on Zman Simchasenu. The Vilna Gaon was Mole Simcha. And the Baal Shem Tov, who you think, if you have a superficial understanding of Hasidus, that it's about bouncing around and being happy, the Baal Shem Tov died on Shavuos, which is a day of serious learning. That's what Rav Huttner writes in one place. It's a Gevaldik Vart. But it's much deeper than that. Right? And obviously Rav Huttner knew that. I'm not, God forbid, saying Rav Huttner had the wrong shot. I'm saying it's much deeper than that. It's that if you understand what the Kabbalah Satorah is, and he goes on to explain, of course, by the way, in this piece, this is why you have to eat on Shavuos. The Gemara in Pesachim, that everyone agrees, Hakol Modim, that on Shavuos you need Lachem, you need to engage physicality. Because on Shavuos there's no, we show that physicality is not physical. That Gashmias is not Gashmias. That Panim El Panim, Dibra Hashem Imachem. So the Baal Shem Tov, who is the one who is Megala, that everything is Torah, that everything is Elokus, that all of physicality is spirituality, of course the Baal Shem Tov's Yahrzeit is on Shavuos. And that's what we're trying to experience on Shavuos, this level of Giloi. This recognition that I don't want to spend my life living behind the walls. Quarantine is necessary to be able to then come out. Hester is necessary to then have Giloy. Yira precedes Ava. Right? Withdrawal allows for Dveikus. Bechever, this is the Giloy that we tap into. Vayera Hashem al Harsina v'iskale. And that's Bikurim. That's getting back to the starting point. Not seeing things in some watered down, you know, derivative, but getting back to the Shoresh of reality. Okay, so I have to stop for now, even though there's a lot more to say and I'll learn together. Thank you very, very much for